Oh, pretty much everybody has an identity. It's just that you don't think of it as identity.
I'm a wealth of ignorance here. Maybe I am ignorant, but at least I'm admitting it. Because, you know, you can't change anything unless you're willing to admit it first. Then do something about it. Like, listen to ArtCast. Hey, I'm your host, Ron Jacobs. Here, working against ignorance for architects. Hey, maybe you've been ignorant about Active Directory and Atom for too long. I know I was. I mean, you know, it's just fundamental infrastructure. You kind of count on it being there. But there's so much more. And on today's show, we're continuing the webcast recording with Canon Iyer. And this is just fascinating stuff. So let's combat ignorance together, shall we? Join in giving a very warm and delightful ArtCast welcome to our guest today, Mr. Canon Iyer. You know, I had a very interesting ArtCast with Kim Cameron, where we talked about his laws of identity, and we talked about all that in InfoCard, which is a whole other topic, but we're getting off track here, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get back to it. Some more authentication options. What about that?
So, the authentication option that we recommend, and we say that architects must demand, is SSO from workstation logon. It's single sign-on. One time you log in into your workstation, and that's it. You do not need to put in your password anywhere, anytime. And of course, that's what happened with our rich client experience that we showed in the demo. You open up that application, it signed you in as the currently logged on user and showed you what you can do.
Okay.
That is the recommended single sign-on experience and identity management best practice. There are lots of other ways that we could take a username and password and validate it. For example, in a basic or digest-based authentication scheme, I would maintain my username and password in an XML file or a database or where not, and then do a simple password operation, password compare operation, either using a digest mechanism or a simple bind mechanism to get you whether the password matches or not. Now, if I signed in using my domain account, my password goes through the Windows security subsystem, it's secure. The next level out when I'm giving in a username and a password is not going to be secure unless the network traffic is encrypted. And it's not going to be secure unless the other side, the receiving side, is a trusted partner. Now you're exposing your password unnecessarily on the network and on the receiving end to have your domain username and domain password available to an external untrusted third party, which is what you should avoid.
Right.
And that's why we recommend using single sign-on from workstation login, which is the Windows integrated authentication. And I don't even want to go into LDAP binds or forms-based authentication. These are all options. Please do not use those.
Oh, okay, but wait a minute, though. I mean, and so for you're talking about in terms of your domain account, right? Because, I mean, external-facing websites, people are using like ASP.NET membership and personalization. Those guys are going to use forms authentication. Right?
Yes and no, it depends. You do not have to use it. For example, let's say I'm signed in into my domain account using Microsoft credentials here at work. And my 401k account is with Fidelity.
Yeah.
And Fidelity's account has nothing to do with Microsoft's account.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
You would think so, but you are wrong. They do have something that you could connect the identities. My identity is still the same. My name is still Canon Iyer, and my identity has already been established to Microsoft. As long as Fidelity can trust that Microsoft is good enough in authenticating me, they can trust my authentication and federate my identity down to that organization using Active Directory Federation Services.
Yes.
And my authentication flows nicely.
But that's a fairly new thing, right? I mean, there's not many people have done that.
Yes, it is a new thing.
Yeah,
but a lot of people are doing that.
I think it's a terrific thing, actually. I wish more people would do it so that I wouldn't have... You know, I know that it, like our company store thing is set up that way, but I can never find the link to, where you go to sign in with that thing. So anyway, I always end up having to use my password. But That's another story.
Yeah, eventually the other links are all going away. So you have one link and you go to e-company store and it takes you directly there with your Microsoft credentials.
Well, that would be wonderful. Yeah, because I know like they sent out an email going, hey, look what we did. Here's a link. And then I lost that mail and now I can't find All right, anyway. So let's talk some more. So integrated authentication, you said, definitely is the way to go when you can do it. Single sign-on is preferable.
That's right. And with it's recommended. It is actually the best practice that you should follow as a requirement from your applications to have integrated authentication. The advantage here is that it uses the built-in features, so you can have everything on your Windows network accessible from a Windows client or a non-Windows client. We have Unix clients and Mac clients that can use the integrated authentication using partner products from Wintella and Centrify.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and we have a whole bunch of customers that are having this single sign-on bliss through all these external partner products.
I like that. It's bliss. Yes, I love it. Okay. All right.
Absolutely. So, and again, the beauty here is there is no job for us. Developers and architects just need to say, yes, we mandate it. Yes, we need it. There is no coding required. It's a simple checkbox in IIS.
Okay. So, you know, I think architects like that. Developers hate that. No coding required, you know. But anyway, so in this solution, you did the integrated authentication.
That is right. And again, there are a whole bunch of APIs that are available that gets you the direct integrated authentication experience. And we have a list of APIs that we have on our identity management solution series.
Okay, so in the web client, you didn't have to do anything because you just set up the IIS settings to use integrated security. And in the rich client, you did this API call accept security context?
That is right.
Okay.
So the accept security context is the API that actually takes the context that you have built in out of this workstation sign-on.
Yeah.
And then carries it forward or accepts that context for use inside the application.
Okay. Great. All right. So now let's go back to our solution for a minute, and we're going to look at what now?
Okay. So the authentication pieces, if you look at it, the web portal as well as the rich client are using Active Directory users or Windows users for authentication.
Okay.
Without actually requiring them to sign on, we are leveraging the workstation sign-on.
Great.
That's what we used in our solution.
Okay. But then there's more.
Yep. Authentication is just one part of the solution, right?
Okay.
It's like there is authorization. Okay, now that you know I am who I am, who I say I am,
yeah.
What am I entitled to? So that's right. The part that authorization talks about.
Nothing. You're entitled to nothing.
Oh, thank you.
Okay.
I get that from my wife, and now I get that from you. Oh, my goodness.
You're welcome. All right, so authorization just says, what is the person allowed to do, right?
Pretty much, yeah. You grant or deny permissions to perform tasks based on authenticating the identity.
Okay.
That's all authorization is about.
And you typically don't want to say in your app, like, if user equals Ron, then blah, blah, blah. And if user equals Canon, then you don't want to do that kind of stuff because hard coding it would be a nightmare, right?
And
if when Ron leaves the company, then you got a big problem, right?
And on top of that, if Jake joins the company tomorrow,
yeah,
you need to go back and make a code change in your application.
Of course. So that would be pretty lame. And we want, of course, to be able to modify authorization at an administrative level, and you don't want to have to do one thing for the smart client app and another thing for the web app.
That is right.
Okay, so some options here?
Yep, there are a whole bunch of options available here, and you mentioned this ahead of time, the concept of roles.
Mm-hmm.
A role is basically a role is an abstraction that you can have on top of what your authentication pieces are to say, in this role, you have these entitlements. So a role encapsulates three basic things. One is what tasks you can perform, what are your entitlements during performing these tasks, for what duration.
Well, I kind of think of roles as sort of ways of grouping people, and so that, and a person could be in more than one role, right? But then when I want to map. When I want to map what they can do, I think of the groups rather than the individuals, right?
That is true. It's again built on top of the groups. It's slightly different than groups, but from a high level, 30,000 feet level, you can consider them as a grouping of some kind.
Well, I always have my head in the clouds anyway, so that's why I think that way. Okay, all right. So the first option is this thing called Authorization Manager.
That is right. So Authorization Manager is a new API that we introduced in Windows Server 2003. It's also available for Windows 2000. And we'll go into details on it in the next slide.
Okay.
There are other options that you can use, but they are less interesting options. They are less rich in terms of the options that they may provide. For example, ADFS claims is something that you can use as a claim from a completely different programming model, completely different logical model. You're using it as a claim that fits very well with ADFS model. It may not fit all that well with your traditional applications. Similarly, Windows ACL model, it's a very fine-grained access control model, but it's a management nightmare.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
So you need to come up with groups that will map appropriately for each of the applications, and infrastructure folks just do not want to deal with application-specific groups.
Right, right.
So those are issues that you run with, and of course there are other things that you can do with LDAP authorization, or use COM Plus or ASP.NET roles.
Well, see, I used to be on the COM Plus team. And so I'm very familiar with COM Plus roles. And it was a great model. COM Plus roles, it was great, as long as you put all your business logic through COM Plus. And it had its own kind of data store and its own, it didn't have any integration with, anything else. So
that
if you,
right.
you did your roles there, you did it there only.
So now if you did your roles there or through ASP.NET roles, or if you have your own authorization scheme, imagine a situation where you are deploying an application into an enterprise.
Yeah.
If you're an ISV developer who is writing an application that will be sold as a product, the application itself needs to be managed.
Mm-hmm.
The application data store needs to be managed. Now you have a roles store that needs to be managed. If it doesn't fit well with the data store, it will be a completely different store.
Yeah.
And of course, you will have additional pieces that are moving parts with your application, which a departmental administrator simply cannot afford to do, or even an enterprise cannot afford to do, to have five different administrators for a single application.
Okay, so Authorization Manager is this kind of generic role-based thing that's not tied to COM Plus or ASP.NET, but could be used in any app, right?
That is right, and it stores its data in AD, or it could store it in ADAM, or you could put it in an XML file store for development or modeling purposes.
Okay.
The more scalable solutions are AD or ADAM.
Right.
And if you already have AD and you can extend your schema in AD to support authorization, you can support Authorization Manager in your AD-based application, you don't need to do any schema update. Everything is built in. It can use that.
Okay.
If you cannot, then you need to extend your schema in ADAM to support Authorization Manager store, and then put your Authorization Manager policies in ADAM.
Okay. And in fact, the Patterns and Practices team has this security application block that they built, and it supports Authorization Manager as one of the places where you could store this.
The huge advantages you get out of Authorization Manager, you design the roles at application design time, use it at runtime, you have the ability to and the flexibility to change it anytime you want in any which way. You can add more users to the roles, you can define tasks, additional tasks, and all of this happens independent of the application to start with. But the application can use them without requiring any code changes.
Now, let me ask you a question, because I really honestly don't know the answer to that. How does Authorization Manager relate to, say, like the permission demands in .NET Framework? You know, do those things work together, or are they different models?
They are different models, actually.
Okay.
Authorization Manager is more intended at this point for native code applications.
Okay.
And of course, even for managed code applications as an authorization policy store, you could still go with AZMAN.
Uh-huh.
So.
Okay, but you can use it certainly from managed code. You just have an API that you call rather
exactly.
than like the attribute.
Exactly.
So when you use that attribute, it's testing for a role. It's testing for membership in a group. Based on the user's identity, right?
There is an API called isInRole that detects whether or not you are in that role at this time.
Yeah, but that's not going to use Authorization Manager's roles, is it?
the IsEnroll API users authorization manager roles.
Oh, that one does? Okay.
That's right.
All right. Okay. Never mind.
So, as I mentioned, you could use Atom for the data store or AD for the data store, depending on your applications.
Mm-hmm.
So in our case, what we did was in this specific solution, since we already have a need for authorization manager for spreading the, for splitting the task of defining roles into a completely different component from the application, and for it to be reused across multiple different applications, we have a need for AZMAN in our solution. So what we did was we took the roles, defined them in Authorization Manager, used them from the thin client application or the web application, as well as from the rich client application.
Okay, so what you said there, I think, was a really critical point in that if we think of the authorization as sort of an app-level problem to solve, we'll be solving it over and over again in every different app, slightly different ways, creating a lot of management overhead. But if we solve it with something like AZMAN, especially when more and more people are building apps that have multiple kinds of front ends, maybe we didn't have it here, but you might have a web service entry point into this as well.
At the later
right.
time, yes.
Yeah.
And the extensibility of this is phenomenal.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
And the entitlements are based on the roles. So if you come in with the username Bob, and Bob is set up as a person who can submit expense reports,
mm-hmm.
then all Bob would be allowed to do in your application is to submit expense reports. On the other hand, if you come in as a Mary, as a user by name Mary, who is an administrator or a manager, and is authorized to approve expense reports, they could not only submit, they could also approve expense reports. So this is, again, something that you could simply drive off of policy that you set in your AZMAN store with no changes to your application. So tomorrow when Bob becomes a manager, all you need to do is just assign Bob to the manager role and you are done. No changes to application.
Okay, so but you have an API for authorization manager. So if you're using this, you're going to call into this API to take advantage of it.
That is right. And it's, again, a scalable store that it uses with AD and Atom. And you could always use XML store for application development time or for modeling purposes.
Okay. And so in this solution, you did use Authorization Manager to do all of that because it meets the requirements that we needed.
That is right. And it provides a consistent role mapping and reuse across multiple applications. And for us, the requirement was the lab administrator determines what kind of activities you could do. So again, this nicely fits that requirement.
Okay. And so in our authorization solution, this is kind of, we're just walking through that. We're using AZMAN. Now, I see a little triangle there that says app data.
We'll get to that later.
Oh, okay. Well, you're still holding off on me. All right. We're going to get to that one later. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned. Here we go. Okay. All right. So let's see a little demonstration here. Or are we going to?
Okay, I want to skip this demonstration because I want to cover the data store portion, and then we'll come back and do a single demo that shows the data store as well as the authorization manager pieces in one part.
Okay, good idea because, I went to my machine. See, that was a bad thing. All right, let's go on down to the next one. All right. Okay.
So now we talked about authentication and authorization.
Yes.
Now we are on to the data store, your favorite topic.
All right.
You have been asking this for a while now.
I have been.
So what exactly would an application need a store for? It needs to store its user credentials, if in case it needs to. And of course, it needs to store the application data, user profile data, application configuration information, and so on. So the data store itself is needed for various different parts. And in this specific case, the application requirements were very explicit that we should be leveraging existing infrastructure data. We should be leveraging existing users in Windows users in Active Directory, and it can store data anywhere. You could have a database-based application. We could have gone with a database-based solution. So the question then comes, when do I go with the database? When do I go with a directory?
That is the question. And because actually, I think a lot of people think of the directory as like the last place I'm going to store the data.
That is true. And that's because, again, the popularity of the directories are is pretty much at a level at this point, very similar to what it is for databases, but databases did get a head start. The database versus directory story is very simple.
Okay.
It's your data model, it's your programming expertise, administration experience, and the data requirements that actually determine whether you go with the database or a directory. A database is intended for a relational data model where you inherently have data that fits into the relational data model. A hierarchical data model, on the other hand, would suit a directory better.
Hmm.
Your programming expertise matters. If you have SQL programming experience and you do not have LDAP programming experience, it might be fairly easier for you to develop this application rapidly using SQL than using LDAP, even though it is at the cost of not using standards-based, for example, authentication standards-based with LDAP, while it is not. It's proprietary in databases.
Okay, but it's not like it's that hard to learn the LDAP way of programming, right?
Not at all. And databases are warming up too. For example, SQL Server provides you this ability to do integrated authentication.
Mm-hmm.
So you could be signed in using your domain account into Windows, and you could sign in to SQL Server without putting a username and password.
Which is certainly recommended.
Absolutely. And of course, Oracle supports that as well, and there are other databases that should be supporting it.
Okay.
So, identity standpoint, again, from the identity perspective, do not put your users into a database. The standards-based approach is to use, or identity management best practice is to use, leverage the Windows identity or the platform, identity in the platform. Active Directory is the identity store. Active Directory is what Windows uses to store its identities. Leverage that. The organization-wide profile data or global information that is needed across the entire enterprise fits in Active Directory, while local data can be stored in Active Directory or in Atom. We use standards-based authentication, Kerberos, of course, and you get single sign-on experience across multiple forests. And with Federation, you get single sign-on across organizations.
Now, you mentioned something else here that I hadn't really thought a lot about, but is using Atom as a place to store configuration information.
That is true.
Because everybody's thinking about, I have XML files everywhere for config info, but what's the advantage of putting it in Atom?
XML, again, from a reliability standpoint, from a scalability standpoint, performance standpoint, putting it in a structured data store like Atom or SQL makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
XML files can go so far as a few hundred users. Beyond that, you now have to manage the memory, you now have to manage the access, and you also need to do the optimizations on your own.
But would
all that is done by the structured data stores already.
But would you put things like, you know, my preference for the color of my screen in Atom?
It depends. If this is an application that you'd be using, or if this is a preference that you'd be using in one application, maybe you'd be putting it in Atom for that application.
Uh-huh.
If it is something that you prefer as your desktop, for example, your desktop layout,
yeah,
that is something that is a user profile information that you would like to see in any machine that you sign in on the network. So that belongs in Active Directory.
Okay, so we have about 5 minutes left. So we want to use our time wisely here. Do we want to get to the last demo, or what do you want to do?
Yes, I want to get to the demo in a couple of seconds. Let me just skip through a couple of slides, and then
We'll
get to the demo in a second.
Okay.
So now, what we used in this solution is to have Active Directory for the data store, which is for the identity store. Okay, so here we are. What we used in the solution was Active Directory as the identity store,
yeah,
and Atom as the application data store.
Yeah.
In Atom, we put two different things. One is the AZMAN policies,
mm-hmm,
and we also used our own application data, for example, who owns what equipment, the equipment information itself, the schema to represent the KVM switches and whatnot in Atom. And we said, for this particular duration, user one is signing up or owning equipment one, equipment two, and so on. And all that is extensible, schema-based, so there is no need to change any code in your application. Say tomorrow you want to track your office space usage.
Uh-huh.
If you want to know which user is using which office and what furniture pieces are there, you just put in that appropriate schema into Atom and you're done. This exact same application can be used to handle that.
Okay, I got you.
So now let's do a demo of authorization and the data store.
Okay, great. So in this app, you're not actually even using a SQL database at all. Everything's in the Atom.
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
And that is where, if you take a different application, that is where you would be using SQL database instead of Atom.
Uh-huh.
You would still be leveraging identity out of AD. You would still be leveraging the Windows sign-in.
Yeah.
But you would store your application data in SQL Server. It's a database-based application, if it's a transaction-based application, accounting application that needs to span multiple different
activities. Speaking of transactions, does Atom support the notion of transactions?
No. Atom is based on the JET database technology.
Oh, okay.
It supports transactions as an atomic single statement,
yeah,
but not multi-statement transactions.
Okay, so that's an important difference. Okay.
Yep, indeed. So now here I'm signed in as user Jesper Aberg, and at this point I'm not allowed to see see the inventory report because I'm just signed in using the asset viewer role.
Okay, so I'm seeing this the Smart Client app still.
Yes.
Okay.
So I'm looking up the Smart Client application, and let me scroll down to the report portion of it, and let me go down to the asset inventory piece. And right here you see the information that says you are not authorized to view reports.
Oh, okay.
Where does this authority come from? So let's go to the server screen. This is the server VPC. Mm-hmm. And in the server VPC, I'm going to open up the AZMAN management interface. The AZMAN management interface is, again, a simple MMC-based client. You go to this azman.msc, and I have defined the asset manager role and asset viewer role.
Okay.
For each role, I have the specific tasks that they can provide. They can perform, and the members in that role. At this point, the asset viewer role only has Jesper Aberg in the viewer role, and there is nobody in the manager role.
Okay.
Now let me go to the manager role and add this exact same user to that role. See how easy it is? I just go to this interface, which is very familiar interface for managing users and groups.
Sure.
And I specify this user is now an asset manager. And that's it. I can go back to my application, the client part of it. I sign out of the application and sign back in.
Is that necessary to sign out and sign back in?
Otherwise, the credentials don't get refreshed in my application.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But you could code your application in such a way that you refresh credentials on every access.
Oh, okay.
Not on every access, on a periodic basis.
Oh, right. Okay.
I wouldn't recommend doing it on every access.
Yeah.
Okay, so now I'm starting the asset tracker client back, and as simple as that. Now I'll be able to see the asset inventory.
Now, if I wanted to, I could write my own sort of, let's say I go, well, I don't want, a non-technical person to have to deal with the ASMAN console. I could write a little simple app to have them do stuff like that.
That is right. So you could write your own application to do that.
Okay.
And right here, I went to the asset inventory, and now it shows this is the report of different assets, who owns what.
And it's a beautiful report, too. For those of you who can't see it, too bad for you. No, you're not missing a lot. It's just a demo app, but it gives you the point.
Yeah, that's the intent.
Okay.
So now, coming to the data store portion of it, what exactly do we store here, and what information do we need to maintain in Atom? In this case, the Atom maintains the schema about these different components that we are managing inside Atom, and it also has the data about the application itself and the AZMAN store. So I could open up Atom ADSI edit, or in this case, I would even use LDP to show you the different application partitions that we have defined inside Atom. Here I'm opening up the tool ldp.exe, and let me connect over to the local Atom store, and I'm signing in using my currently logged on account. This is the Windows integrated authentication, and I'm going to open up the data store here to see DC equal contoso, DC equal com is the application partition in which I have all these details. Now I have the different assets under this partition, and you can see that there is an asset tag assigned to each of those in a typical enterprise, and that's the name that is assigned to this object. So if I click on this object, I see that that object belongs, or that object actually represents a particular asset. It could be a KVM switch. It could be, this looks like it's a KVM switch.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
This is how you manipulate objects inside Atom, and this is how you define your objects inside Atom and show this in your applications.
Okay, so I tell you what, let's do, because we are kind of running out of time here. Why don't we go ahead and go to the end of this and let Eric get us involved in the survey at the end, and then we'll come back and do some questions and answers.
That is true. Can I complete one extra line about this lifecycle?
Absolutely.
Management?
Go ahead.
Okay. Again, this has been previously ignored part that has come to the forefront at this point.
Mm-hmm.
There are four different aspects that we have, which is synchronization, aggregation, provisioning, and deprovisioning. We need to have data that is available at multiple different places in sync.
Mm-hmm.
You may have the need to aggregate data that is spread across multiple different places and provide you a custom view. You may want to do provisioning and deprovisioning to maintain this fidelity of this information, in the sense to handle the situations where you have an employee who is no longer an employee of an organization still having access to specific resources. For example, I may be an employee of Microsoft today. Tomorrow, when I retire, I still want to have access to the retirement benefits sections, but to nothing else.
Oh, I'm sad to hear that you're retiring, but okay, well, I gotcha.
So, the deprovisioning aspect should take care of the life cycle of this specific identity that flows through the entire system. So that's the important part about the need for life cycle management, and we have three different solutions there. One is a simple programmable interface that we have called Atom Sync that ships with Atom. It will do a one-way synchronization of data from AD down into Atom. We have Identity Integration Feature Pack, which is a full-fledged MIS server that just talks to three different data sources. The higher-end or the upper-end solution is the Microsoft Identity Integration Server that works with almost 40 different data stores and synchronizes data across all over the place. It uses rules-based processing, and it can do pretty much any kind of synchronization, aggregation, provisioning, and deprovisioning.
So that sounds like a pain reliever for the identity management headaches. Okay. Okay, great.
So that brings us to the end of this presentation. Again, we had a need for multiple different aspects, which is application needs, which is authentication, authorization, data store, and lifecycle management. For authentication, what we used was Windows Integrated Authentication. For authorization, we used AZMAN. And for data store, we used Atom. For user credentials, we used the Windows User Store. For managing the data through its lifecycle, we used Atom Sync in this case. We did not see that in the demo, but we have this available as scripts in and MIS in this VPC demo that we will be providing on the website at various different download locations at Microsoft.com.
Okay. Well, terrific. So let's see. We have, of course, some resources for you to follow up with. Let's go here to the resources just real quick.
Okay. And in summary, again, I want to make sure that all the new applications that we develop should use, should demand that the platform or identity in the platform is leveraged. It should use the proper identity management practices not to cause more identity headaches. And it should make sure that we use AD and Atom appropriately in the right places. Even with database applications, using AD as the identity store is still the recommended thing to do.
Okay, and we're not going to read all of these, but there's a lot of resources certainly that you could look at. And we'll post links for many of these things with the ArcCast episode as well. So let's turn it back over to Eric for a moment. And Eric, you have the floor.
We are going to put up a survey now. We do really value your feedback on this. So there are two options, either registered online or all other registrants. Please fill it out. And it looks like we're running up on time, but if you want to get to some of these questions, we can go ahead and get as many of them as you can. We'll try to get to them, and the ones we can't get to verbally, we can stick around and get to in text format. So, Ron and Kenan, I'll pass it back to you.
Okay, great. So we have some questions to go through here, so let's get right to them. Here's the first question. Is there an application block in Enterprise Library for this? So there is a block in Enterprise Library called the Security Application Block, which basically tried to provide sort of a simple API across a lot of different identity and access management systems, with the idea in mind that in various enterprises, sometimes you have to deal with multiple systems, so it's easier if you have this common API. And of course, it works with Authorization Manager and Atom and all of those things, so that's a wonderful thing. It has been updated for version 2 of Enterprise Library so that it delegates much of its responsibility now to the ASP.NET membership and personalization, which, of course, also works with Authorization Manager and Atom as well. So, question 2, is this really the best practice?
Indeed. this is a beautiful question. See how poor our communication has been in the past.
Yeah.
We have concentrated only on the infrastructure aspects, so customers think that AD is just an infrastructure directory store and that's it, nothing else.
Yeah, he says here, why are you storing data in AD? We were always told not to do this, except for what's needed for authentication and authorization.
Indeed. And we have been, we have not told anybody not to store it. We just haven't told people that you could store it. AD, if you look at it, is basically a high-performance database which is intended for hierarchical data and for multi-master replication so that it can be available across the entire enterprise. From day one, it was designed to be the infrastructure directory plus enterprise directory for applications. That plus enterprise directory for applications just got lost in the din where we made this noise about infrastructure directory.
It was all those network admins. They said, don't touch my Active Directory. And so people said, okay, I'll do something else, right?
Bingo.
So, all right.
Bingo. And people are overly protective of the schema. There is no reason to be. In Windows 2000, there was a reason because the schema could not be modified or could not be changed. In Windows Server 2003, we have the ability to actually deactivate a poorly defined schema and redefine it differently.
Okay.
So there is no reason to be protective. Feel free to extend schema when your application needs it.
Yeah.
And use AD as the application data store for applications that need to be available globally across the entire enterprise.
Okay. So here's another question where they say, well, what about performance here with Atom? I mean, if you have a web app with millions and millions of users authenticating, I mean, is it going to work? Is it up to that?
Oh, absolutely. With Atom, we actually have production deployments on the internet with an online bank that uses in the range of 5 or 7 million users that's currently live and operating. So millions of users is nothing. With AD, we run into double-digit millions of users.
Okay.
And AD and Atom are based on the exact same LDAP store, and the performance and scalability standards or the statistics are comparable. In fact, Atom's is slightly better because of less overhead in terms of token generation, authentication, and authorization processing.
Okay, same question for ASMAN. I mean, is Authorization Manager up to that kind of scale?
Absolutely. ASMAN is, again, intended as a roles-based authorization mechanism that can be used with Windows 2003 solutions for intranet and extranet.
Okay, so somebody says, well, what if you had the same scenario, but instead of having Active Directory in the picture, they use something else, some other kind of LDAP thing as their enterprise directory, but for the app you still wanted to use Atom. Would that work?
Yes and no. It depends, because if you have something else as your enterprise directory, you already have multiple credentials. You use Active Directory for sign-on, and the other enterprise directory where you have your credentials for applications to use. So Atom can work with Windows principles, not with any LDAP directory store or LDAP directory principle. It works with Windows principles.
Hmm.
So that's the reason it uses the credentials in AD. AD is the store for Windows. So we do not work with credentials stored in other enterprise directories directly.
Okay, so here's a question. I'm not sure if I totally get what he's asking here, but he says, how can we protect Atom's user profile?
Okay, Atom actually follows the exact same protection mechanisms as AD. So you could have users and groups, and you could ACL resources inside Atom, with groups that you define inside Atom. So for example, if you have a group in Atom called Application Group 1, and members of Application Group 1 need to have access to a specific set of data that is intended for that application, you could ACL that data with just this group and deny permission for everybody else. So unless you are a member of this group, you will not have access to this information.
Okay.
So you could you can protect the data in Atom exactly the same way you protect data in AD.
Okay. Another question. Can we get an overview of user proxy objects? What are they? And how do they work and why should we use them? I don't know what they are either. What are they?
User proxy objects are a very convenient way of doing identity consolidation for legacy applications. So let's say you already have an application that uses a username and password, and the username and password is stored, let's say, in your iPlanet directory. That's what your current setup is. You bought this application 10 years ago. You have no source code to this application. You have no ability to move this. You have no ability to modify anything in this application. How do you take this application and its data in iPlanet and migrate it into Atom and achieve identity consolidation? You could very well do that using the user proxy object. The user object that you have in iPlanet currently uses a username and a password, which is different from your Windows password. In Atom, we have this concept called users in Atom, where you can have a username and password, or a user proxy in Atom, which represents an AD user. To enable applications that bind locally to a local object in Atom, we have this redirection to AD for authentication. So now, when the user binds to Atom, they would put in a local Atom DN as the identity or the username to bind to, and a password, which will be the Windows password. Atom will turn around and give it to Windows and say, I'm signing in as this user with this password, and the link is made by using the SID of the user in AD. That is what user proxy objects are for.
So then if I sign in with my Windows identity, it does all this handshaking and then it says, oh, that proxy is associated with this identity. So when I go to log into that legacy app, it grabs my username and password that I need for the iPlanet directory. Is that what you're saying?
Not exactly directly that way. If you're logged on using a Windows identity and your application can consume Windows Principal, then great, your application should use that.
Okay.
It's only for applications where you need to put in a username and password and the username is represented by a user object in the local data store.
Yeah.
You need to put in this proxy stub that says, okay, I'm binding into application. Let's say you go to HRWeb.
Yeah.
And HRWeb is the application that was running previously on iPlanet,
right?
And you put in a username and password.
Yeah.
The username is actually represented by a user object in iPlanet.
Yeah.
And the password was the password of that object.
Yeah.
Now, after you move this to Atom, the application would still ask for a username and password. You would still put in the username. The password you put in will be the Windows password. Atom will take this. It'll look up the local object.
Yeah.
It'll look up that. It'll figure out that it's a user proxy object. Turn around and do the authentication to AD.
Okay.
Advantage now is you have done identity consolidation in AD, and if the AD object is disabled or if this person is no longer a valid employee of the organization, you get automated deprovisioning.
So this way I can retire the iPlanet directory so I don't get rid of an identity management headache, and instead the old app talks to Atom. It doesn't know the difference. It's just an LDAP directory
that
to it, right? And then Atom, you know, does this sync with AD and all that. Okay, wonderful. Okay, I got it. Well, that's pretty cool. See, I didn't know anything about that. That's great. All right, so here's I see an Active Directory to Atom Synchronizer Beta on the MS website from 8/19/2004. It is solid and stable. And the normal way one would synchronize your production directory to your, or is it? That's the question. Is it solid and stable? Is this still beta after all this time?
Okay, so you're making me do an announcement here, which I was supposed to do in email earlier today.
Let
me go ahead and do it.
Wait, live, you're on our guest. Ooh, an announcement. I love it. Okay. Yeah.
The announcement is of Atom Service Pack 1 for the out-of-band release, which actually contains the production release of Atom Sync that was released in beta a long time ago. So this is Atom Service Pack 1 that is already available at Microsoft.com/Atom. When you go to download page, it'll tell you in English language we have this available for other localized languages. We'll be making it available in the upcoming weeks. The package has ADAM Synchronizer, AD Schema Analyzer that can actually do a diff between multiple schemas, and a bunch of other enhancements that we have put in into this service pack. And that is the production quality ADAM Sync that you should be using in production. And it is indeed production quality. A couple of our own Microsoft products will be using it in the upcoming releases.
Okay, so that's great news. Now, another question. ADAM and ADFS, are they only available on Windows Server 2003?
ADAM runs only on Windows Server 2003. ADFS can work with principles from any data store. So okay. ADFS itself runs on Windows 2003 Plus, but it can run with work with any Windows principle or any principle, actually.
Okay. Does it make sense to have an e-commerce web portal implement AD and ADAM for authentication and authorization? So you got, you know, millions of customers out there. They're not part of your organization. They're not like employees, but they're going to sign up with your site so that you can, you know, save their shipping address and stuff like that. Would you use ADAM for that?
Absolutely. So for those kind of e-commerce applications, if you already have a fairly reasonable enterprise setup for the extranet environment, you already have multiple servers there to manage. You have the need to manage the computers that are running your extranet. At that point, you probably already have Active Directory, in which case you could very well put the users in Active Directory. It is okay because we have a whole bunch of extranet-specific features that we put into Windows Server 2003. For example, we have this feature called FastBind, which does not do a token evaluation. It just does the group expansion and provides you, it just does the password authentication and provides you A or Nay. So that's again intended for extranet applications because they don't actually need to have a network presence. You could very well use Active Directory for such extranet deployments. If you do not want to use Active Directory, rather want to have a dedicated data store like ADAM, you could very well do that as well. And millions of users is not a big deal. Internally, we test on a regular basis with 60 million users or something like that, and 100 gig databases, 100 instances on a machine, 1,000 instances replicating with each other, fairly huge numbers, and our long-haul stress numbers are like months and months of running a single instance of ADAM at high level of stress over a long period of time.
All right. Well, so there you go. Scalable, totally ready for anything you want to throw at it. We've got Active Directory, ADAM, Authorization Manager. What a great identity and access management platform. And we're going to have more webcasts about this month because January we're doing a whole emphasis on identity and access management on ArcCast. So, Kenan, thank you so much for being with me today. And I'd like to thank our engineer, Mark, and our producer, Eric. Thanks for everyone attending ArcCast. Kenan Iyer, ladies and gentlemen. Kenan, the guru of Active Directory, come to educate us all. Hey, I hope you learned something from listening to Kenan and going over some of the scenarios and, you know, single sign-on and all that goodness. Hey, that's what people want. Why complicate life? It's already hard enough as it is. And I cannot remember another password, okay? Do not ask me to. Really, there's some very cool stuff coming. Especially, I'm really looking forward to InfoCard, which is an exciting new way of kind of dealing with this problem, getting it out of there. But hey, what do you think? Send me a note to ron.jacobs@microsoft.com. Let me know, because I always like to hear from you on ArcCast.